your need-to-know cultural snapshot of Wisconsin and beyond. This is What's on Tap with Sandy Max, sponsored by Visit Milwaukee, a deep dive into all things intriguing, riveting, and entertaining. Now, here's your host, Sandy Max.
Welcome, and thanks for starting your week with me on What's on Tap, sponsored by Visit Milwaukee, and it's a supersized episode of What's on Tap, 3 hours chock full of creativity of all kinds. Get ready to snarl your upper lip and shake things up truly. Nikki and Tommy Lewick and actor Brad Skonecki, they are bringing All Shook Up to life at Sunset Playhouse, channeling Elvis. And the right Elvis tune will be the song you need to hear tonight. And in hour two, you're going to meet from kind of retro music, modern music, Milwaukee creatives Noah David Eckstein and artist, she calls herself Me, M-I-E. We're going to preview the Milwaukee Film Festival's music video showcase with Noah and Me because they have videos that will be seen on the big screen tomorrow night, and going to get an exclusive look ahead at the Sharon Lynn Wilson Center's new season with artistic director Tyler Nicholas. They had a big season announcement last week, and what a variety of music, everything from bluegrass to jazz to holiday music. I'm excited to talk to Tyler and hear what he has in store. And in our bonus hour, Milwaukee Film artistic director, she has her picks to help you get at least one film in before the Milwaukee Film Festival ends on Thursday. Kara Ogburn shares her picks, and I have a fresh Chad Smith Foundation update from Lewis Smith, the executive director, and a special encore conversation with Brad Smith, Chad Smith's brother, Mary Carlson, local musician, and also Mark Strothman Jr., who is part of the Bad Finger Band family's estate. And there's an unmissable, unique Bad Finger tribute event that is a Chad Smith Foundation benefit happening tomorrow. And I will get you an update on that and remind you, because this is decision-making time. If that sounded like a fun event, jump on it and get your tickets for tomorrow at Let It Be in Waukesha. So it's local, it's lively, it is all happening right here on What's on Tap. In about 5 minutes, MKE on TV. Visit Milwaukee's Claire Koenig is going to join me to tell us how Milwaukee made it on Wheel of Fortune last week. And also on TV in Ireland, on a TV show called, well, I could spell it for you. It's Chaix Taistil, I think is how you say it in Gaelic, but it translates to travel text. So they had a trio of Irish people come here. So that's now on Irish television. So we'll get caught up with Claire Koenig in about 5 minutes. And first, though, I want to know how your weekend was. On Mondays, I like to find out from you what was a highlight of your weekend. And I'd like to be everywhere all at once to have fun, but I can only be in one place at a time. So where were you? What did you do? What was a highlight? Did you go somewhere fun, see somebody you dig, binge watch a cool series, finally accomplish a home project that you've been meaning to do? I know lots of people in my neighborhood were chopping down trees and trimming bushes. Siding Unlimited, WTMJ talk and text line is 855-616-1620. 855-616-1620. From big wins to small joys or big joys and small wins, I am interested. For me, I had a few weekend highlights. It was date night on Friday with The Big Cheese and my boyfriend. The Big Cheese is a movie that is still screening at the Milwaukee Film Festival. It is fast-paced, fun documentary that follows Mr. Moo, a guy named Adam Moskowitz, who is a cheesemonger, but there's this big elite competition in France, and it's his mission to help America, USA, win at this competition. So it's a like I said, it's fast-paced. It was a really good time. If you can see The Big Cheese, I can definitely recommend it. And Mr. Moo was there and cow costume and everything for the Q&A with the filmmaker and the subject afterwards. And then back at the film festival on Saturday, I went to the world premiere of Pat McCurdy's documentary, Bright, Beautiful World, The Infectious Joy of Pat McCurdy. And sure enough, it was sold out. He was there. He got to see it for the first time with everybody there, and it was a standing ovation. It was one of those, I'm one of those rule followers where they say, turn off your phone. I wish I hadn't, because I would have loved to have just gotten the great positive energy of the standing ovation of everybody just really enjoying it. And it screened again on Sunday morning at 11. That was sold out, had standby crowds. So the plan for Pat McCurdy's movie is to go to the film festivals later in fall and hopefully be available some way, somehow, at least on a streaming service by early next year. That's the plan. You know, I will keep you updated, and I will invite Pat McCurdy back because he was a lot of fun in the studio last week. So that was fun. And then yesterday, are you a Ted Lasso fan? Are you a Beatles fan? Well, there is a show that I think you'll like. You've heard of the Steppenwolf Theater. Gary Sinise is one of the co-founders. Well, at the Steppenwolf Theater, the guy who plays Coach Beard, his name is Brendan Hunt. He was a Chicago guy, and he co-created Ted Lasso with Jason Sudeikis and another writer whose name just flew out of my head. But Brendan Hunt is doing a one-man show all about how much the Beatles music has meant to him throughout his entire life. And it's a really fun one-man show. It's called The Movement You Need, which is a song lyric in Hey Jude. If you're wondering, like, why is it called that? I don't know that I'll remember that. If you remember Steppenwolf Theater and Coach Beard, boy, it was a fun show that I road trip to Chicago and back, which it's always an excuse to get to my mom, to visit her. So what did you do? Did you have some fun? I want to know. The Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line 855-616-1620. Big wins, small joys. I'd like to know. Did you see Milwaukee on Wheel of Fortune last week? Behind the scenes stories of Milwaukee on TV here in the U.S. and in Ireland with Visit Milwaukee's Claire Koenig next on What's on Tap.
You're listening to What's on Tap with Sandy Max on WTMJ.
Who saw Milwaukee featured on Wheel of Fortune last week? It's a kick to see your town on TV and to tell us about how Milwaukee made it on Wheel of Fortune and on Irish television. Welcome back to What's on Tap. Visit Milwaukee's Vice President of Communications and Advocacy, Claire Koenig. Hello, Cara. Claire.
Hello. Thanks for having me back.
Would you like to buy a vowel?
Those are all consonants. I'll take the I in mill.
That's so fun that you got to work on a project where the whole country gets to see Milwaukee in such a fun way for the whole half hour.
Mm-hmm. 8 million viewers per episode.
Wow.
Is what Wheel of Fortune brings in every single night, which is, I'm a Jeopardy girl. I don't want to say that too loud, but those numbers are fantastic.
Oh, game shows in general, though, you know, just anytime you can get on there, and it's always lighthearted. It can be on in the background. Mm-hmm. You can watch it. It is one of those like kind of comfort TV spaces.
Oh, for sure. And I mean, they've had a natural travel connection in a lot of the trip giveaways and
for decades, the entire history of
the show.
Yeah.
And our brand is very much fun. There's a lot of overlap there with game shows.
What did you get to showcase on Wheel of Fortune for those who didn't get to see it and didn't DVR it?
Well, we got to showcase some beautiful images of Milwaukee. We got to Harley was a big partner in the whole week for Wheel of Fortune, and it was all about like a road trip themed type of week, and that trickled down to the different types of trip giveaways as well. Where, thanks to the generosity of a lot of our Milwaukee partners, we got to put together some of these gift packages, which are the big hook, you know?
Yeah.
And you have the
slab, the wedge on the wheel there.
Yep. Of course, they have the chance to win. And then online, actually, I believe it closed today, but there was a big national giveaway for one of those trips, including a Milwaukee trip, to all of the Wheel fans online.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah, so just really great exposure for Milwaukee, for those partner businesses. I mean, just some beautiful drone photography by a guy named Charlie. Shout out Charlie, who was like super excited when he learned that his image was going to be on Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And what a glamour shot of Milwaukee, yet
very much
accurate.
Ryan Seacrest isn't often, you know, talking about how beautiful Milwaukee is. And he was, so.
He probably hasn't been here since, remember the old American Idol auditions at the Milwaukee Arby's? Museum. He's due for a visit back. Yeah,
very
it was a
much
while.
So.
But you get to spotlight Summerfest and the downtown skyline and the Pfister and just some of our most beautiful and vibrant spaces.
Yep, very much so for 8 million people,
wow.
Which is incredible. I mean, the Top Chef season was probably about that for the full season.
That's an interesting statistic.
Yep, if you want to put the viewership numbers together. So again, it is really amazing airtime and just shows the power of those shows and of TV in general, which we talk about. Just Milwaukee on screens is what we're trying to do always, whether it's a screen on your phone or at home or on the big screen. We know that video especially just has a huge, huge power to tell our stories.
And be in part of the conversation, you know, mm-hmm. when that slab of, well, I keep calling it a slab, but that when that wedge on the wheel,
yeah.
you know, is between big money,
yep.
it's not next to lose a turn or bankrupt. You know, it's like, it's, you're associated with, oh, mm-hmm. this is a high value mm-hmm. experience.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people, especially as they're planning and airfares are getting expensive, if mm-hmm. somebody's living within road trip,
mm-hmm.
mileage than distance, then why wouldn't you go, you know what, I've always heard good things about Milwaukee.
Yes.
I just saw it on Wheel of Fortune.
Yep, exactly. And I mean, we know we are an appealing road trip destination year round. And draw a circle 6 hours to 8 hours outside of Milwaukee. And those are the markets that are driving or flying here, but a lot of them are driving. I want to say it's like 78% of our visitors are driving in here. So that's yes, Milwaukee and road trip, very much in the same conversation.
What's one of the often. Most unexpected comments you got from somebody who saw it on Wheel of Fortune? Did you get somebody texting you from a different part of the country? Or
I think there are a lot of people who set their TVs to record it beforehand, yeah. like in case they weren't quite home for it. I heard the watch party that St. Kate helped us out with at the lobby bar was awesome. So I think people were just really excited. Milwaukeeans still sometimes, not as much as we used to, but still sometimes can be a little surprised, I think, when others see us for as amazing and cool as we are. Sometimes it's like, oh, really? You've heard of Milwaukee? Yes, they have.
Yes, yes, because we tend to be humble.
Yes, and we all should be screaming about
which
that.
I would say, which is part of our charm, but yeah, yes, humble. So from American TV, when we come back, I want to talk about international TV in a completely different language that mm-hmm. you managed to get Milwaukee showcased on. She is Claire Koenig of Visit Milwaukee. We're going to talk about international television and how you can get your hands on some gold. Stay with us on What's on Tap.
This is What's on Tap with Sandy Max.
I don't know, Ronnie at Halfway Cash in Milwaukee, Aleru, Tasholu, Onansha, so, Railam. Okay, Shilum, Garshanach.
Yeah. Well, I need the fried cheese in curd form, mm-hmm. I need it in stick form, I need it in all the forms.
You realize Summerfest is a music festival.
That is a moment of Milwaukee on Irish television, and one of the people responsible for getting us on Irish television is in the studio with me, Visit Milwaukee's Claire Koenig. Claire, that is a moment from an Irish TV show. Chaix Taistil mm-hmm. is the closest I can get to it, because mm-hmm. in, you know, good Gaelic language, it's spelled TEACS TAISTIL.
Mm-hmm.
That translates to
travel text.
And is it a popular show in Ireland with this trio of
It is. It's very
travelers?
Popular. So they're in season 4 and they came to us last summer and they said, we're filming this show. We love Milwaukee. We've been hearing about Milwaukee and we want to bring the show here. So the show follows these three folks who they're different walks of life, like TV presenter, podcast host. I forget what the gal does, but they're all kind of influencers too, and it follows them around from different cities where they are completing three different challenges over 3 days in these new cities. And they chose Milwaukee in part because they had heard of our Irish heritage and Irish Fest, of course, and Celtic MKE. They had heard of that, and so we were on their radar, and we didn't have to sell them on anything. They were like, we're coming. Help us
do this.
They
are so joyous. Yep. You can watch mm-hmm. it on the Visit Milwaukee Facebook page. Thank you for putting that, because sometimes mm-hmm. it'll be regional and you can't watch that show.
Yes.
So I would say just take a breath, though, let it load. It took a little while for it to load. So I like to think it's another hemisphere, but you can watch this Irish travel show and see Milwaukee just shine on that as well. And
yep.
then, Claire, we were just talking about Wheel of Fortune really quickly because I don't want to miss out on the gold rush.
Yeah.
But we got a text on the Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line, 855-616-1620. Caroline wants to know, will last week's Wheel of Fortune episode that had Milwaukee in it, will it be re-aired or watchable for those who missed it?
Great question, Caroline. Until the April 29th, it'll be available on Hulu and Peacock. So you still have time to watch that.
Cool. Yep, and then, so now that's TV. Mm-hmm. What's happening in real life all around this city called Gold Rush?
Okay. Sandy, this might be the silliest thing we've ever talked about on your show, but I am personally so excited about this. So we are partnering, well, Map King, they're our digital map guys. They're amazing. There are digital maps on our website all the time. You can find it right at the top right-hand corner. But to promote, we're partnering with them, and then this amazing artist, Adam Heimbach, we are partnering, it's our three groups, putting on a scavenger hunt to help visitors, locals, explore the city more using the digital map, of course. And it's a scavenger hunt. And at each different locations, they're going to release a clue each week. At each of the locations, you might be able to find a cheese sculpture made by Adam. And there's different denominations of money in each of those sculptures.
And when you say cheese sculptures, like, is it like a wedge of cheese like we think of?
I think it's more block-like.
Okay.
I believe I've only seen one early idea, though, of the actual sculpture. But I'm super excited to see them next week when we kick off the whole scavenger hunt with a cheese swap. And that is where, if you've never been to a cheese swap before, that's where, you know, bring a block of cheese and then you might meet someone there. Swap your blocks. You might find a more interesting block to take home with you. But we thought it would just be this fun way and a very cheesy way to kick off this scavenger hunt. That'll be at the New Fashioned outside from 11 to 1 on May 8th.
In Deer District, right there.
Yep.
11 to 1, absolutely free.
Mm-hmm. They're going to roll out some snacks. There will be little grilled cheeses. There will be, I think, another food truck's coming. I mean, we will have plenty of stuff. We might have some extra cheese. But we really encourage you to bring a block. Get a block, wear your cheese heads. It'll just be really fun. And then go do the scavenger hunt.
I'm interested to see these cheese-themed sculptures, too, because mm-hmm. I'm one of those people like, well, I want to collect it. I don't know that I want to share.
I don't know
that I want to open it up and break it.
I would not be breaking it. It would be displayed in a place of prominence in my home, I think.
It's a Friday lunch hour.
Yeah.
The Milwaukee Gold Rush. I've never heard of anything quite like this using artworks and cheese, and then the swap.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Wow. Well, I love that the Visit Milwaukee team never lets us have a boring summer.
No.
Not once.
No.
Not once. So everybody's invited to the cheese swap kickoff event. So how long, this is the kickoff event, how long does the scavenger hunt last?
I believe it's till about the mid-June. It's
Ooh.
Not very long. So you gotta get on your running shoes, get ready, get your puzzler brain on to solve the clues, to go to the, again, you're getting to learn the city and maybe some places that are new to you. Bring your friends and family from out of town. It's a great way to show them around. And maybe you'll find a sculpture with hundreds of dollars in it. I'm not sure.
The Gold Rush. Visit Milwaukee.org is where you go to find out more about the Friday, May 8th lunchtime event and how you can get in on the cheese swap. Thank you so much, Claire.
Thank you for having me.
I look forward to our next lively visit. And we're going to be channeling Elvis in the WTMJ studio next with the star and co-directors of All Shook Up at Sunset Playhouse next. But first, we go to the WTMJ Breaking News Center. Here is Elizabeth Lintonen.
What's on Tap with Sandy Max is back on WTMJ.
Welcome back to What's on Tap, sponsored by Visit Milwaukee. Handcrafted, homegrown, world-class. Discover more at visitmilwaukee.org. I am a long-time Elvis fan. I actually used to have annual birthday parties for Elvis Presley. That's how much of a fan. And I still have a ton of collectibles, various things in the basement, memorabilia that is just aching to be displayed. But the good news is you don't have to come to my house to get your Elvis fix. You can get a very fun one on stage in Elmbrook. It's fresh after opening weekend of All Shook Up at Sunset Playhouse. It is absolutely my pleasure to welcome All Shook Up director Tommy Lueck.
Hello. Thanks for having us.
My pleasure. Assistant director Nikki Lueck.
Hello. Thank you for having us.
And he plays Chad. You're truly channeling the Elvis cast member Brad Skonecki.
Hello.
Brad, can I call you a star?
Sure.
We do.
Good, because you are truly the man on stage channeling the Elvis-ness.
Yeah.
How does it feel to be?
It's
bringing that kind of energy.
It feels great. It really is something. It's a weird feeling. You feel like you have people in the palm of your hands in a way that you never felt before.
That's fun.
Yeah.
That's part of, I would think, why you perform, to have that connection and have that those magic moments like that. So round robin, congratulations after your opening weekend. One word, how does it feel now that you're past the opening weekend?
Relieved.
Relieved and excited, yeah. I'll say exhilarating.
Ooh, yeah. I was saying, because, yeah, you're making the magic there. What is the plot of All Shook Up?
It is about a little town that is heavily conservative, and this roving roustabout Chad comes in and shakes things up, and people fall in love. Some people take a little longer than others to find the person they're falling in love with.
It's set in 1955?
Yep. 1950s, yep.
What is it about this show that appealed to you and said, I want to audition, I want to be in it?
Big Elvis fan.
Oh!
You're
on brand. I love your t-shirt.
Thank you. I in my talent show in high school, I would perform Elvis pieces, typically, in costume and everything.
Tell me about your audition.
My audition?
Did you bring costumes?
I did not. I should have.
Really? Well, you got the role. You got the role. But what is that audition process like, especially when you know that it has an Elvis aspect to it and you don't want to impersonate him, but you want to bring that special swagger, that energy?
Yeah. I looked for a piece, an audition piece. I had to have 32 bars to sing. And I ended up picking Lady's Choice from Hairspray that Zac Efron sang, because I thought, well, this is a ladies man kind of guy, and this song fits that 50s Elvis hips swiveling kind of dance.
Because would it be too obvious to do an Elvis song in your audition?
I felt I should try not to do an Elvis song, even though I want to.
But you're right, because then I think you'd be tempted to do a tribute artist type interpretation instead of, I think that was a very insightful choice. Congratulations on getting the role of Chad.
Thank you so much.
And I talked to Tommy as the director. How involved were you in the casting?
Oh, directly involved.
Yeah. How many Elvi, aspiring Elvi came in?
Oh, I think, how many people did we have at the auditions, Nick?
I think we had close to, across two nights, it was about 50-ish people.
It sounds like a lot of fun to me, because it's not my decision making. It's not my job. It's just the entertainment. But you've got to make a decision of somebody who's really going to embody that role.
Right, right. And usually, you know, you can kind of see what everybody brings to their audition, and you can kind of get an idea of what character they're interested in playing. And on the audition sheet, it asks, you know, what roles are you interested in? So it helps you along that way. But then when you finally make your decisions, we kind of make them as a team. And so we were very happy with, obviously, Brad and the other cast members that we got for the show.
And Tommy, what is it that excites you about All Shook Up, where you were I want to direct?
Well, I think it's really neat, because it's the story of Shakespeare's Twelfth Night. That's the actual plot line, and it's set to Elvis music, which is a really fun sort of, you know, mashup. And
definitely,
you know, Shakespeare's referred to a few times in the script itself, so it's kind of funny.
That is great, and it's so funny. This show could be a gateway to both the legend of Elvis and the legend of Shakespeare.
Yep.
When you blend the music and those story threads, where somebody might be like, oh, Twelfth Night, I would have never thought to read that. But now, if you can imagine that, it makes it more approachable.
Right, right.
That's fun. And then Nikki Lewick.
Yes, ma'am.
You share the same surname with Tommy.
I do.
Is that a coincidence?
It is not a coincidence. We are married, and we have been doing teamwork together at the Sunset Playhouse for, gosh, it's been probably 10 years.
At
no,
least,
16 years, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So I used to stage manage the shows that he would direct, and then just sort of moved into an assistant director role among other things that I happen to do at Sunset.
I feel like a lot of people at Sunset, you know, wear different hats.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
And enjoy wearing the different hats.
Yes, yes. I am a vice president on the board. I've been volunteering there for 20 plus years. I co-produce another program at the Sunset Playhouse. It's called After Sunset Studio Series. And I co-produce that with a gal named Erica Navin, who is also the education director at Sunset Playhouse. So definitely people are wearing many hats.
That's a not fabric. That's just, there's not even mm-hmm. hats. That's just interwoven mm-hmm. into all right. the aspects of bringing creativity and joy on stage mm-hmm. in so many different ways at Sunset Playhouse. Stay with us. We are talking about All Shook Up with Tommy and Nikki Lewick and star Brad Skornecki as Chad, the Elvisness on stage. So stay with us here for more All Shook Up on What's on Tap.
Welcome back to What's on Tap on WTMJ.
The last time you soaked in some Elvisness. All Shook Up at Sunset Playhouse is a place where you can do that through May the 10th, a fun musical set in 1955 and isn't an Elvis tribute show, is it? It's
not really an Elvis tribute show, no.
No, no, I was saying, but you hear Elvis music in it.
Oh, completely, yes.
So I'm having a tiny cast party with Chad from All Shook Up, otherwise known as actor Brad Skornecki, who gets to not only just wear his colorful Elvis t-shirt today, but actually shake and jive and bring the energy on stage in that Elvisness. But also bringing that spirit out, I have the director and the assistant director, Tommy Lewick.
Yep.
Hi. And Nikki Lewick, who are bringing this to life. So we have Chad on stage, swiveling and shaking. How big is the cast? Who else is part of this storytelling?
There's 24 members of the cast, so it's a large cast, and there's various couples, you know, in line kind of with what we were talking about with the being the story of Twelfth Night, kind of follows that plot line. So there's various couples, there's a sheriff, there's a mayor who is just mad at everybody for rocking and rolling and having fun. And then the other, the counterpart to Brad is Natalie. Her character's name is Natalie, and she is, she falls in love with Chad, but there's some twists and turns in the show. We don't want to give everything away.
Oh, no, not at all. Tell me about the costuming and the set design.
The set design, well, everybody who works at Sunset volunteers in terms of construction and all that. We have AJ Simon as our interim scenic designer, and all different kinds of, it's a one set show, but then things come on and leave, different props come on, different, we actually have carnival rides that come on and leave, and yeah, funny things like that. And costumes?
Yep, there's a lot of costumes, and it's a lot of work for our costumer, Lisa Quinn, because it's set in the 1950s, and there's several costume changes, and you know, it's a musical theater, so we can't let anything be boring.
Oh, right. No.
So there's some glittery dresses. There's 1950s dresses. All kinds of fun stuff.
Backup doo-wop dancers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you talk about a set. It's like it doesn't always have to rotate. I think we've gotten spoiled by some of the over-the-top Broadway shows, which create their own magic, but doesn't have to be. Let our minds fill in that in the imagination and set the scene for us. And Brad, do you get to wear a big pompadour? What's your costume like as Chad?
Oh, I got a nice leather jacket with my nice blue jeans and a white shirt. And I do have a pompadour that I slick up every show before I get ready.
Do you have a wig or is it your natural
it's my hair?
Oh, fun.
And don't forget your blue suede.
And my blue suede shoes.
Oh, yeah. That's the piece de resistance. That is the icing on the cake for any person who's channeling that Elvisness. What is truly, you were talking about really feeling like, oh, I've got the attention of the entire audience and everybody on stage. Like, I've got you in the palm of my hand. We're going to have some fun. What is one of those magic moments? No spoilers, but like, what is there a line? Is there a song where you just really feel it? You feel like the whole live audience is together.
I would say during the number, Come On Everybody, which was in
Elvis's movie, Viva Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And I think that's really where a lot of things come to life.
There's a lot of clapping. Yeah. Everybody got it. Come on, yeah. Everybody.
Yes.
Tommy, how about you as the director? What moment do you really want to have happen? Again, spoiler free, but if it can be an emotional one or it can be a lively one.
I like Chad's solo. I think it's called I Don't Want To.
Mm-hmm.
But he really does. He really does want to. It's very, very, very funny.
I'm so glad that we are just blessed with such a great community theater. And you talk about volunteers. Like, you don't have to be on stage shining like Brad to really feel like you're part of it. And if your skill is making the set and painting, or your skill is, boy, being great with a needle and being able to craft clothing, all of it. Like, I love that it brings the community together on stage and backstage, mm-hmm. in addition to coming to see the performance. So thanks for carrying on this tradition. All of you have been involved for how long? Brad, how long at Sunset Playhouse?
At least since 2018. So 8 years.
Cool. Tommy?
I've been there since I was 11 years old. I grew up down the street. And hey, it was really cheap babysitting for my parents. So.
And it brought this creative side of you out.
That's... Now I'm 59 and I'm still there. So it's just a great, great place.
And you are beaming. So it seems like a place that you want to be. And Nikki, how long have you been involved? And you're so very involved.
Yeah, it's once it gets you, you can't leave it. my first show on stage there was in 2007. So I think I can't do math very well, but I think that's nearly
20 years.
Years.
Yeah. Yes. Yep. Well done. Congratulations to each of you on opening weekend of All Shook Up, and have a great run all the way through May 10th at Sunset Playhouse. And the best place to keep up with tickets and other productions at Sunset Playhouse?
Go to their website, www.sunsetplayhouse.com.
And the song you need to hear next is the title of the show, to put you in the mood to get all shook up in Elm Grove. That's next on What's on Tap.
You're listening to What's on Tap with Sandy Max on WTMJ. And now, feast your ears. This is the song you need to hear.
Most blokes are going to be playing at 10. These go to 11.
And big thank you to my guests from the current production of All Shook Up at Sunset Playhouse, director Tommy Lewick and assistant director Nikki Lewick, and cast member Brad Skonecki. Chad channeling Elvis vibes in the fun retro musical All Shook Up at Sunset Playhouse through May the 10th. A very fun show. And the Elvis Presley song that the show is named for, you gotta play it. It's the song you need to hear. Turn up All Shook Up on What's on Tap.
I'm all shook up.
Your need to know cultural snapshot of Wisconsin and beyond. This is What's on Tap with Sandy Max, sponsored by Visit Milwaukee. A deep dive into all things intriguing, riveting, and entertaining. Now, here's your host, Sandy Max.
Welcome to the second hour of this supersized episode of What's on Tap. I am very pleased that you're with me starting the week, and hope you had a great weekend. And I always like to enjoy finding out what you did on your weekend on Mondays. The Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line is 855-616-1620. What did you do? Did you do something fun? Did you have a victory of some sort domestically, or just something you've been trying to put together for a while? 855-616-1620. Whatever you did that was fun, whoever you saw, I'd like to know, because I can't be everywhere all at once. I did spend some quality time at the Milwaukee Film Festival seeing a fun documentary called The Big Cheese on Friday night that you can see. It's still playing at the Milwaukee Film Festival, if that sounds fun. And I also got to be part of the first group of people to ever see Pat McCurdy's new documentary, Bright Beautiful World, The Infectious Joy of Pat McCurdy. And even he was there, and it was a standing ovation occasion. That was a lot of fun. So whatever you did this weekend, I'm curious. 855-616-1620. And also coming up on What's on Tap, speaking of the Milwaukee Film Festival, tomorrow night I get to MC the Milwaukee Music Video Show, which showcases 15 local artists who have made music videos for local bands. Some of them are both in the band and made the video. And some of them are very cinematic that I'm excited to share with you. So tomorrow at 6:30 at the Oriental Theater, come out and see this showcase of music videos, and you will meet creatives who have made these music videos Noah David Eckstein, who is a musician and filmmaker, will join me in this hour. And you'll also meet me, M-I-E. She has created a song called Freak Show that has snakes in it that I will get to share with you as well. And then also artistic director of the Sharon Lynn Wilson Center for the Arts in Brookfield, Tyler Nicholas, is going to join me with a preview of their brand new season announcement of the variety of music you can enjoy there in that space. And speaking of music, tomorrow night is also the Badfinger tribute at Let It Be in Waukesha, which is also a fundraiser for the brand new Chad Smith Foundation that is fostering after-school music activity. So lots of music, lots of film, lots to look forward to. What did you do on your weekend? 855-616-1620. And Jessica Gatzo from the WTMJ Newsroom is with me because you were part of history this weekend.
That's right. I was unknowingly part of a Guinness World Record.
Which sounds like the start of any good story.
Of course.
How did you set a record this weekend?
So I went to the annual Milwaukee Riverkeeper spring cleanup, 3 hours on a Saturday morning every April, you know, cleaning up the river in springtime. That's always the time when all the trash is kind of accumulated. And it's also like the easiest time to actually get things between all the trees before everything is in bloom.
But
what I didn't realize when we got there, that the organizers asked everyone to kind of wait till we all got there so they could take a picture and submit their proof to the Guinness World Record for largest river cleanup across multiple locations.
The Guinness folks are very, very particular. Like, they want everything documented. Yeah. And they used to fly like a person over, an official, to deem it so.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly how that worked, but they did end up, they got a plaque of sorts at the end, but
cool.
The official record is for multiple locations. So I'm sure that was also kind of tricky to coordinate, because I think there were over 120 locations across the Milwaukee, Menominee, and Kinnickinnick Rivers. And that's always how it's been for quite a few years. And apparently they've already been surpassing the world record for
just
several
not even
years.
Trying
and
to.
Now they were just like, well, I guess we'll make it official.
Wow, 120 different locations up and down the rivers. That is wonderful. What was your area of cleanup?
My area was in Bayview, so Kinnickinnick River. I think the total for trash all around all 120 locations ended up with 100,000 pounds.
Wow, thank you, number one. Congratulations on being part of environmental local history by being part of the Riverkeeper's biggest group ever. But that's incredible, over 100,000 pounds.
Mm-hmm. And that was over 2,000 volunteers that collected all.
That is fantastic. So you get a plastic bag and one of those alligator claw pickup things. What are your tools to help collect the trash off the banks of the river and out of the water?
Yeah, they provide us with the bags and the gloves, and then some people will bring some of those grabber things, which depending on like what section of the river you're on, it can be very useful. If you're on a very steep section, you can't really go down very far, but can just reach far enough in that case. Always interesting to see like what kind of trash is collected too. As you can imagine.
I was going to say, what was the most bizarre thing where you went, why would anyone have this by the river?
Oh gosh. I don't know if I have a bizarre memorable moment, but I'll start with last year's cleanup, because last year it was funny because I ended up collecting like one of each like sports ball. I had a basketball, a soccer ball, a football, like there was some other one. but this year we found this little postcard that said Cave of the Mounds on it. And I just went there a couple weekends ago. So it was like a really funny coincidence. So I was like, all right, this is my little river cleanup memorabilia.
Is it mostly plastic or is it mostly just paper trash, like bags from fast food? Like,
lots
what do you
of that.
See?
Lots Ugh. Of bottles. And of course, a lot of it's, you know, just storm drainage or falling off of garbage truck. So not everything is intentional.
Sure, litter, I would say, but, especially, you know, with all the flooding that we've just had and whatever gets washed away out of people's homes or off their yards. Where, look, I had a plastic flamingo that was in my yard and now it's miles away that got whisked away.
But then someone always finds something like a bicycle or a couch in the middle of the river. It's like, okay, well, that
that took some effort.
That takes some more effort.
Well, what a wonderful job that the River Keepers do. They're such a great environmental organization here, keeping things as clean as possible. But thank you for annually volunteering. And when did you start making the River Keepers cleanup an annual tradition for yourself?
Well, the first time I participated was like, I don't know, like 10 years ago or something. And so then last year I decided I want to resurrect that and start going more frequently. So,
well, thank you for what you do. And hopefully you're an inspiration for others, and should circle it on my calendar for next year. Because the one thing I know that the River Keepers do that I love is the boat parade, which is usually August, but it's you can have a creative boat, just float down the river. I've seen musicians on the boat parade before. Like, that's a celebration of what the river can give us as far as recreation, much less.
Of course. And I think there are other cleanups throughout the year. I don't know if this one is necessarily the River Keepers, but like usually there are some beach specific cleanups during like the 4th of July.
Sure. When there's debris and people enjoying the beaches, but leaving things behind. Well, thank you very much. WTMJ's Jessica Gatzo, one of the over 2,000 people participating at the River Keepers cleanup over the weekend. And do you hope that just keeps growing and maybe we can break another world record? Just keep raising the bar?
Oh, sure. I think it's very doable if we're already at this pace.
Just keep it growing. Thank you so much and congratulations.
Thanks.
And next, we're going to meet a local filmmaker and musician, Noah David Eckstein, and find out what his creative process is for making music videos and music, visual and auditory. Meet Noah David Eckstein next on What's on Tap. You are hearing local music from a local creative. Welcome to the WTMJ studio and What's on Tap, Noah David Eckstein. Noah, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Have you heard your music on the radio before?
I have not.
Well, congratulations. It is kind of a thrill, isn't it?
Yeah.
And tell everybody the title of that song.
It is Cladosporium Cocodile.
And tell everybody what Cladosporium is.
Well, it's kind of up to the listener and or viewer. They can make their own interpretation of whatever it means. It's subjective.
But Cladosporium really is something.
It is, yeah. It's a type of mushroom.
Okay. How did that inspire you?
Well, I really hate naming my things. I'm a composer mainly. It's usually the very last thing I have to do because naming things is very hard. So I was just kind of plugging words in after I had made this thing and I could see it and hear it. And I found that word and I was like, yeah, I think that fits it.
So Noah, you just go with your songwriting process. You come with the sounds, the melodies, the textures of audio, but you don't really have a theme or a person or an object in mind as those sounds are coming together?
It depends on what I'm creating. For example, I've written a piece for orchestra that was meant to be kind of in the style of like John Williams film music. So for that, yeah, sure, I was kind of thinking of like a hero's journey and that sort of thing. But no, for this, which is an electronic music piece, I kind of just went for it and started exploring and a piece eventually showed up.
So when you're writing music, because you say you're a composer first and foremost, but you have made a music video.
I have, yes.
But I hate even calling it a music video. But you know, I mean, because I've gotten to watch it. And, you know, it is film. It has that film quality. It's not a crisp, HD, clear video. This is very patterns and shapes, kind of hypnotic. So is that what you had? How did the visuals come after the music?
So what you're seeing is liquid light projections, which was something that a lot of bands in the 60s, like Jefferson Airplane, The Doors, those sorts of psychedelic rock bands, they would use these as projections on screens behind them as they were playing, especially at places like the Winterland Ballroom in San Francisco. So I've always been attracted to that kind of stuff, and I'm in a psychedelic rock band myself, so I started exploring that medium to use for my band. And then I was kind of like, you know what, this visual stuff would match well with electronic music too. So when I made that film, I was literally, I had it in my headphones and was kind of just exploring it as I was listening to it. So that's kind of how it came about.
Interesting. So when you say light projections, are you aiming a camera at a wall of projection?
Yes.
Okay.
And it's all... This all takes place on like an overhead projector like we used to have in school.
Yeah.
So I'm basically putting water and oil, two things that famously do not mix, in a plate, and then I'm dyeing them and then kind of moving them around. And then, yes, it's going onto the wall and then I'm filming it.
Interesting, because I was going to describe to you like some of the things that I could see in the just watching it and my interpretation, but you hesitate to do that for an artist because you're like...
I would like to hear yours, though.
Okay.
I would like to hear your interpretation.
I will tell you some of my interpretations. I am in the studio with Noah David Eckstein, a composer and now filmmaker, and you can see his music video film tomorrow at 6:30 as part of the Milwaukee Music Video Showcase, which I am honored to return to MC. This is going to be
nice.
A fun night because it is so stimulating to see 15 different musical artists and all these, this variety of visual expression. So I'm very excited. So we will talk more about Cladosporium, Coke Dial, the music, and the video next. So stay with us. And if you want to see some samples, you can text the word watch to the Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line 855-616-1620. Won't show you the whole 8.5 minute video, but you'll get some cool samples and get an idea of what this psychedelic look is. Stay with us here on What's on Tap.
What's on Tap with Sandy Max is back on WTMJ.
The composer of the music that you are hearing is Noah David Eckstein, and he is in the WTMJ studio with me. Kind of a preview of tomorrow's Milwaukee Film, Milwaukee Music Video Show, which is a showcase of 15 different local artists, their music and their visuals that accompany it. And Noah, you've made, I like that you've put it, psychedelic. That was a word that I didn't have in watching your Cladosporium Coke Dial. And I was all interested in like Cladosporium. Like he must be a scientist. Because you mentioned that of your video that some people have thought that the orb that you see in the middle is a Petri dish.
That kind of, yeah. I like that kind of science aspect to it.
I can see that. And thank you for sharing your process of, it's so funny. I wouldn't have thought of using an overhead projector like we all used to use in school and see those wax pencils wipe on, wipe off on the, but that's how you created this film.
Yes.
That's a fascinating process. So I did note a few things as I was watching because I'm preparing to MC tomorrow for the music video show, but I was interested in talking with you because I think it's fascinating that you're a composer, so you're very auditorily wired, but that this is the first time you've made a music video.
Yeah. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. I don't know. I've been honored to have been in, to have had my electronic music pieces accepted to music festivals before. And usually we just sit with the lights off and listen to this kind of sort of thing, which is cool in its own aspect. But, you know, a lot of times for these concerts, for the, all the other pieces, there's, of course, performers on the stage, right? This is, you know, something that I record at home, so you don't need performers. So I had that experience a few times, and I was like, you know what? It'd be cool if we could also watch something at the same time as we're listening to it. So that's how I kind of got into the filmmaking aspect of it.
And it's very interesting that it did keep my attention because at first I was like, okay, 8.5 minutes, I'm going to pay attention. You know, it's like my mind didn't wander. I was fascinated. You've got this golden orb and then you have the photosensitive epilepsy warning at the beginning.
I do, just
so
in case.
Like, I don't know what's going to happen here, but it is the visual support, this electronic layered music that you have. But it's this yellow circle. To me, instead of a Petri dish, it seemed like the inside of an iris that was filling up with
oh, that's
water.
Cool.
And then I went with amniotic fluid when the black ink starts coming in. But you're telling me that is water and oil.
Yes, that is correct. It is water, oil, and sort. It's actually a candle dye that you use to make candles.
Ah.
That's candle dye and food coloring.
But it is very much, like you said, psychedelic 70s. It has an old film look where I think now this day when we have digital cameras and digital video in our pocket all the time, this, what is it about film that kind of
appeals to you instead of that crisp look.
Yeah, I don't know. I've always been into that sort of music from that era. I've always been into the films of that era. So that look is just very attractive to me. I also used my dad's old digital camera from when I was young to make this. So HD was never in the cards.
So when someone watches your video, either on YouTube, at home alone, or tomorrow on the big screen, which I have to think is going to be your first time to see this on the big screen. That's cool, the Oriental Theater. What do you hope people take away, or someone takes away from watching your film, which is a lot of patterns and moving shapes?
I don't know. I hope they experience something that they have never experienced before, either the visuals or the music. You know, this music's a little out there. It's not something you usually turn up in your car when you're driving. So, yeah, I just hope to give people new experiences. And if they like it, cool. If they don't like it, cool. That's just, they're shaping their taste one way or the other.
Noah David Eckstein, what a pleasure to meet you. I look forward to seeing you tomorrow at the Milwaukee Film Music Video Show. And what's the name of your psychedelic band that we should look out for as well?
Mystical Zenith. And we'll be at Summerfest June 18th if you want to catch us.
Cool. Thank you so much for joining me. I look forward to seeing you tomorrow.
Thank you.
And stay with us. We have more music of all kinds to share with you at the Sharon Lynn Wilson Center for the Arts, their announcement. And you'll also meet me, another local performer who will have a video in the Milwaukee Music Video Show. First, we go to the WTMJ Breaking News Center. Here is Jessica Gatzo.
Welcome back to What's on Tap on WTMJ.
Welcome back to What's on Tap, sponsored by Visit Milwaukee, handcrafted, homegrown, world-class. Discover more at visitmilwaukee.org. And time to get lively, find out what's happening in Brookfield. Joining me in the WTMJ studio is Tyler Nicholas. He is the artistic director for the Sharon Lynn Wilson Center for the Performing Arts. And that music just puts you in a good mood, doesn't it?
Oh, it sure does. I'm so excited about next season.
And tell me who that sound is that we can see at the Wilson Center.
The one and only Bela Fleck. This one, you know, they say don't program for yourself. I'm going to take an exception from this one. I am programming for myself for this one. I've been seeing Bela Fleck since I was 15 years old. The Flecktones, everything he does is so magical. I mean, he's a 18-time Grammy Award winner in as many genres as you can think of. This one was a big one for me. You know, he shouldn't be playing the Wilson Center. Let's just say that. He is way too big to be playing the Wilson Center. He sold out the Riverside. He sold out the Salt Shed. I really had to convince his agent that this was the room for this tour. Even as far as taking pictures of my old ticket stubs from 2003, being like, hey, I'm not just – this is the spot. So he – like I said, he's genre-less. He plays world music. You know, he's got a beautiful project with him and his wife, Abigail. But this is the My Bluegrass Heart Tour, where he's kind of returning to his roots. So he handpicks a group of bluegrass artists, up-and-comers and legends themselves, and they just go back to his roots of bluegrass. So it's also including Michael Cleveland, Grammy winner, just an amazing story. He's blind, partially deaf, and one of the best fiddle players in all of bluegrass music. So this tour is very special. It took a lot to get done. It took a lot of convincing to get done at a 600 capacity venue. I think it sold out the Riverside last time I was here. I could not be more excited.
I love that you're advocating for the Wilson Center for these particularly unique and intimate experiences of all kinds of music. And I love that you are such a passionate, you're right, you're like, you're not supposed to program for yourself and, you know, and indulge overall. But when you know something is this magical and you want to bring it to Brookfield, you have the ability and lowercase p power to do that, but the persuasive power to do that. But to know that you advocated, congratulations. That's quite the score.
It was, you should have seen my house when that confirmation came through. I was so excited.
Was there hooting and hollering?
There was some
hooting,
there was some hollering. I mean, he is the best at what he does, and he is one of the best in the business. And, you know, besides maybe Billy Strings, he's one of the hottest tickets in bluegrass music and one of the most accomplished artists in bluegrass music. And to be able to say that we're bringing him to Brookfield kind of shows our switch from let's program for the Brookfield suburb to let's become a destination for southeastern Wisconsin. Because, I mean, this is legit. I mean, I think it's, 45 plus nominations on 19 Grammy wins. I mean, it's legit. I mean, this is stuff you should drive to Chicago for. But we're getting in little old Brookfield.
And in a beautiful space. If anyone's ever walked into that atrium space with the beautiful artistic fireplace and chimney, it's beautiful. So it's a stunning facility. And that's just when you walk in. There are many other rooms and performance spaces and second level with art exhibitions. So it's a wonderful space there at the Wilson Center.
Visually stunning, acoustically stunning. I've turned into my father a little earlier than I thought, but the parking situation is great.
Oh, you're right.
We've got a huge parking lot. It's just a special place, and it's not that far away.
I would say, because the last time I was at the Wilson Center was an evening with Pat Murphy, and that was packed. But I found a spot in the parking lot, and I was able to get right in because I was cutting it close because I drove right from here.
I remember that. Yeah, exactly. I remember that.
It was what a wonderful evening. But again, you're making these magic moments. So it is good to bring up parking. Okay, so that is just one of the performances that you have announced for your season announcement. When we come back, we will talk about the many other performers that you have announced other than Bela Fleck. Stay with us. He is Tyler Nicholas, the artistic director at the Cheryl Lynn Wilson Center for the Arts, with many more exciting musical announcements to share with you next on What's on Tap.
You're listening to What's on Tap with Sandy Max on WTMJ.
Bringing you beautiful sounds in Brookfield, the brand new season announcement at the Cheryl Lynn Wilson Center for the Performing Arts was made last week. And artistic director Tyler Nicholas is with me to share some of those sounds. Who are we listening to here that we can see at the Wilson Center?
Oof, this is another big one. The one and only John Scofield, jazz legend. But what's special about this tour, this is Scofield like you've never really heard him. He is, a jazz guitarist by trade, but there's a couple albums where he gets a little experimental, a little bit jam bass, and he's never really had the band to really beef up that material. So a Go-Go, Uber Jam, and Uber Jam 2 are these kind of like fan favorite albums that he just doesn't play out because he doesn't have the band to do it. So he's got an all-star cast is like an understatement. So he's got Oteil Burbridge who tours with Dead & Company, a Grammy Award winner with Allman Brothers Band on bass, Adam Deitch from the funk band Lettuce, also just a mastermind on all things percussion, and then a scary Larry Golding, one of the best organ players in jazz music. So this tour is Scofield like you've never seen him. People are kind of losing their mind because this is so rare. He is the best jazz guitar player, in my opinion, in the world, but he's going to be playing some really funky, out there material that we really haven't had a chance to see in the last decade plus.
Interesting. And you've got John Scofield's Electrospective coming October 17th of 2026. We're talking about Bela Fleck and My Bluegrass Heart, that tour that you wooed their management to make sure it could be right there at the Wilson Center in Brookfield. That is November 6th of 2026. We've only gotten to two of how many performances did you announce last week?
I think we have 28 that we announced last week.
But you're the right person for this job, Tyler, that I can just hear. We've been talking nonstop about music and everything. We just did the microphones just came back on. Okay, now we're talking about more music. So it is just a joy to talk music with you, but to know that you're in a position to bring music to our community of jazz stylings, of bluegrass, of all kinds.
It's all about building community, and Brookfield is such a unique community. You know, we've got young families, we've got older people, we've got everything from the cool cat comic book club for our theater for younger audiences to a Frankie Valli tribute band for our matinee series to, Mark Letary from Snarky Puppy and the Fearless Flyers doing some real experimental stuff. We really try to create a lifetime of experiences. So wherever you are at your life, we try to have some programming that is there for you. And I think this season might be our best season yet. Last season was our legitimate best season yet. We sold more tickets last year and had more ticket revenue than we've had in our 25 years in existence. We had 13 sellouts, and I really do think this year might be better than
Congratulations, that you have much to be proud of. Something that jumped out at me, you got the second city coming.
Oh my gosh.
Next March.
And we were just talking about Pat Murphy.
Yes, that evening with Pat Murphy.
And I said, we've never had comedy at the Wilson Center before, but Second City is technically our first comedy show, but Pat Murphy was pretty funny.
I mean, was telling stories. Pat Murphy was just telling so many great stories, where I feel like Second City, that's, you're leaning more improv and sketch instead of storytelling. But yes, Pat Murphy, an expert storyteller. Here's something else that jumped out at me. Ukulele Orchestra of Great Britain.
Have you ever seen them?
No.
Oh my gosh. This is the third
fantastic.
Time we've had them. It's one of our hottest selling tickets. It's like cheeky British humor, all with ukuleles. There's 12 of them playing ukuleles. They'll do everything. They'll do Metallica covers. They'll do, you know, Hallelujah, all over the place. But it all with that like cheeky British humor. Our audience absolutely loves it. I think it's, I mean, they're a close second to Pat Murphy as far as comedy goes. They're great at what they do musically, but also they're just a riot.
That's some good vibrations there. So what else is exciting you on the main stage series and the matinee series?
So I'm a huge Allman Brothers guy. Devin Allman, he's going to kick off our season. That's Greg's son. He's got a plethora of his old music, but he's also going to do all his dad's old stuff. I love the Allman
Brothers. Legacy.
What a legacy. And he's not riding on his dad's coattails. He actually didn't meet his dad till later in life. He really established his own career and then started to embrace more of his dad's material. So that's August 28th. That's our first show of the season, and that won't be one to miss. And then I would have to say,
I'd say Southern Sounds in the summer. That's a good thing.
Yeah, we'll get a barbecue truck outside. We'll call it a day. And then Terrence Blanchard, you know, I've got a very soft spot in my heart for jazz music, and Terrence is, you know, an NEA jazz winner, 8 Grammy Awards, 2 Oscar nominations, 3 Emmy nominations. He's done every Spike Lee,
joint.
Yeah. Oscar nominated for Black Klansman and a couple other ones, but he's a legend to the truest extent. And, you know, it's just an honor to have him on our stage for sure.
Bring in some real talent. What is the best way to see the full lineup that you have announced?
Sure. If you go to wilson-center.com, you'll have our whole season there. Single tickets go on sale on Friday. And then we have a new subscription model this year. So you can do 4 tickets. It's all flex packages. We were struggling. You know, everyone's got different schedules. So it's all flex packages. We're not doing any fixed packages, not like a jazz package where you have to commit to certain dates. So we have a pick 4, a pick 6, and a pick 8. Depending on how many tickets you pick, you save more money. So you
customize it, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. We can't expect you to be clearing your calendar for March 1st of 2027 today.
Only you are, but you know.
My schedule is cleared. Schedule is cleared. So single tickets go on sale Friday. If you want to subscribe and get that savings, I would highly recommend it doing it before Friday, because we'll have a lot of calls for those single tickets.
It's so exciting shows. He is Tyler Nicholas, Artistic Director at the Sharon Lynn Wilson Center for the Performing Arts. And we'll dig a little bit more into your special jazz series, Jazz in the Dawes. Am I saying that correctly?
Yeah.
All right. We'll find out about Jazz in the Dawes next on What's on Tap.
This is What's on Tap with Sandy Max.
Those are the sounds of Christian Sands, a song called Sunday Mornings that I discovered today while I was researching, to welcome Tyler Nicholas, my guest in the WTMJ studio. Tyler, as the artistic director of the Sharon Lynn Wilson Center for the Performing Arts in Brookfield, you are like a kid in a candy store when you get to book all these incredible musicians. So we talked about your main stage series that you just announced last week, the new season and the matinee series, but you also have a 6-show series called Jazz in the Dawes. Tell us more about that.
So we have this beautiful studio theater, and it's kind of struggled to find its own identity. So we wanted to stick straight to jazz. You know, Milwaukee needs another jazz club. The Estate might be my favorite place to go to in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
But it's hard to bring in regional acts.
That's a tiny club.
With a tiny club. Yeah. So we're really leaning into it. We've got Christian Sands, Emmy Award winner. You know, we're trying to balance local and regional and national acts, but also, you know, keep it a living, breathing, a series where it's not necessarily constrained to the Performing Arts Center season format. So this five shows are our initial five. We intend to add more. We've got a bunch more already in the books here that we're going to be announcing, but we're really elevating it. Craft cocktails, table service, and we just have a beautiful space for it and a beautiful capacity for it. So it'll be a 6:15 and an 8:15 show for each artist, each with about 100 people per show.
Great vibe.
Oh,
it sounds like a great design. Great date night. Jazz in the Dawes date night.
It is. It is. And keep an eye out for it. And just in general, you know, as an organization, we've been adding more and more add-ons within our season. You know, and that's something different from the Performing Arts Center sees. You know, here's your brochure. That's what we're doing this year. We added a bunch, Pat Murphy, you know, Robert Cray, all these different shows last year. So keep an eye on our website, especially for the Jazz and the Dawes series, because we'll be adding a bunch of really cool stuff.
And that website is?
Wilson-Center.com.
Thank you so much. Tyler Nicholas, Artistic Director of Sharon Lynn Wilson Center for the Performing Arts. Congratulations on the new season announcement and for bringing all this great talent.
Thank you so much.
Stay with us on What's on Tap.
Your need to know cultural snapshot of Wisconsin and beyond. This is What's on Tap with Sandy Max, sponsored by Visit Milwaukee. A deep dive into all things intriguing, riveting, and entertaining. Now, here's your host, Sandy Max.
Welcome back to this bonus hour of What's on Tap, a supersized show on this Monday, which has become even more music and movie focused than I had intended, because it's just so much fun with the Milwaukee Film Festival going on through Thursday. And tomorrow I get to MC the Milwaukee Music Video Show, which I'm very excited about. But there's also something going on tomorrow with the Chad Smith Foundation. If you haven't heard about the Chad Smith Foundation, that has just started and is encouraging and empowering after-school music education. They've already started, and they have a fundraiser event tomorrow at Let It Be, the club in Waukesha. That's a whole Cavern Club reenactment, and it's a Badfinger event there. So that's almost sold out, but I have a really fun interview with the organizers of the Badfinger benefit that's happening tomorrow night. So I'll share that with you around 8:30. But first, from retro music from Badfinger to modern music, I am so pleased to welcome to the WTMJ studio the artist known as Me.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
M-I-E.
Yes.
So I share that because people are going to want to know more about you and look you up and hopefully come see your music video tomorrow on the big screen at the Oriental Theater at 6:30. I know you've worked on this music video. Have you ever seen it larger than on a computer screen?
No, actually. Earlier, I was at the WISN 12 news studio, but it was on the TV screen there. And that was jarring. I'm like, my face is so large. I can't even imagine what it's going to be like tomorrow on the big screen.
It looks good. If you text the word watch to the Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line, we'll show you some excerpts from Me's music video called Freak Show.
Yes.
Which is not as freaky as you would think, but there are some freaky moments in it. But you have, it's a performance video, and it is very high quality, high production quality, musically, but also visually. It's really crisp. It's really bright. Is this what you intended?
Yes, absolutely. I'm so, so grateful to have worked with amazing creatives to bring this project to life. Freak Show is from my recent release, The Cave, exploring the shadow work and going through all of the darkness to find enlightenment on the other side. And Freak Show is the spectacle track. It's right in the middle where the character that's going through this transformation really owns her power and owns the spectacle of being in the spotlight and what that means. So working with Wes Tank, amazing filmmaker in Milwaukee. He really, really brought to life the visions that I had. So I had the explicit characters figured out, and I'm like, this is how I want them to look, and here's the extreme lighting that I want for these, and this is the feel, and he really just made it shine.
West Tank is a gift. Yes. He's an absolute gift. I met him through the Milwaukee Film Festival when he was in Corridor. He's an actor as well. Like, yes. I don't think there's anything that he can't do, and he's just this generous, kind, positive soul.
Yeah, he is a true light. He wraps children's books and like gives so much hope and like so much back to children too. Like, he is such a great treasure of Milwaukee, truly.
To learn that West Tank is a great collaborator with Yumi, that's cool to hear. So did you take, how did the partnership for I Have a Song Freak Show, I want a music video for it, how did that come together?
So my partner, Kala, worked with Wes on his Danse l'Intervention music video. It's like a longer form, more like docu-style, because the song he created was a string instrumental song. And so it was a longer form telling the story of his mom and the stroke she experienced and bounced back from. And so it's this beautiful work of art that they did in collaboration with the Medical College of Wisconsin.
Wow.
So he worked with West Tank. And I'm like, well, Wes is a total pro. He's amazing. We've done some cool collaborative events and things like that with him already. I'm like, can you please, oh, please work with me on this? Because I think that your eye and your cameras and the way that you know how to translate, you know, the vision that I have in my mind onto the screen is going to be exactly what I'm hoping for. And he knocked it out of the park.
And I'm interested, after seeing your video that we'll talk about in a second, I will describe it and we will show it more. interested to hear that this is very much a character of your whole album that you have thought through. That this is not you're a very attractive performer, but this isn't a vanity project. Like, this is you happen to be very photogenic and very artistic and very creative and a great singer and a performer. So you can use this to tell those stories. Because I think there are a lot of people who are just like, uh-oh, great. You know, like, how many different ways can you make me pretty? But this is really a cool exploration of these different aspects of this character. And I love learning, because I've only seen Freak Show, so I haven't seen and heard the rest of your album yet. So that's even more deeper. So I think that's part of what the great aspect of still creating music videos, which, yes, they were on MTV so that way you could buy more albums, but they really do seem to be artistic expressions now in this day and age.
I would 100% agree with that. And thank you so much for all those kind words. I'm a little...
I know, I didn't mean to make you
blush. I'm blushing. But
well, it's really tough for another woman to go, you're an attractive lady. You know, it's like...
Thank you.
And you're dressed like a ballerina, a marionette doll, and you're dressed in your cloaks and your snakes. We'll talk about your snakes. We'll talk about what you and Alice Cooper have in common next on What's on Tap. Stay with us. She is local artist Me with Me on What's on Tap.
What's on Tap with Sandy Max is back on WTMJ.
That is the song Freak Show by local artist Me, who is in the studio with me. M-I-E is how you spell your name.
Yes.
Is it an abbreviation for something?
Take my name, Maggie, and you squish it down to me. The I is like the I in me. So I want to be able to embody that when I get up on stage.
I hadn't even seen the eye in the middle of me.
Yeah.
You are such a thoughtful performer. I'm excited to meet you and get this. This is what I get a thrill out of my job. I'm curious about creativity, and to have the opportunity to meet an artist and learn about the process is my jam. So this is just great. So for me to get to MC the Milwaukee Music Video Show, I call it a showcase. It is happening tomorrow at 6:30 at the Oriental Theater, and it is a chance to see 15 local musical artists and their music videos on the huge screen at the Oriental Theater. I mean, what a thrill. You said you're a little apprehensive about seeing you that size.
Yes, I am.
Two stories high.
I'm intimidated. I'm bringing one of my co-stars up on stage with me. Her name is Sparkles, so she will be my emotional support friend.
Sparkles has no feet, does she?
She has no feet.
Okay, so Sparkles, was Sparkles in your music video? And we're talking about extras with no feet. Snakes?
Yes.
How many snakes were in your freak show music video?
One boa constrictor named Sparkles, and three ball pythons, Piper, Pecan, and Hazel.
So, okay, how do you know all of these snakes?
I met through a friend, Bill Stewart, of WPS Reptiles, located in Kenosha. And they are a reptile rehabilitation center. So they take in any pets that can't be taken care of or pets that they find and take good care of them. And then go around and teach kids, like little kids, what boundaries and fear and emotions are with the snakes. And I think that's just such a beautiful thing to do with these reptiles. And so with a little push from Culla, I went and met these snakes because I was very afraid, like deathly afraid.
Really?
And faced my fear. It took about 2 hours for me to touch the first snake before my photo shoot with Sparkles. And then we had Sparkles come then to the music video as well.
But so. the snakes feel like a basketball to me. Like, they're not slimy and weird, but it was like, it's just...
Yes, it's like a purse. As bad as that sounds, it does feel like a leather purse.
With muscles. It's when the muscles start kind of pulsating underneath. It's like, oh yeah, you are. But, so for anyone who wants to see Freak Show, me's video, no one would know that you had any apprehension that your partner had to convince you to go meet Piper and Hazel and Sparkles and Pecan and to get over your fear. You've got the snakes on top of your head all wrapped around you, and you are singing, and it's not even distracting, you know, because you can tell if somebody's uncomfortable. But so I love that you were able to incorporate the snakes into the video as part of your personality. Also, you're a marionette dancer hanging upside down. Are you actually upside down, or is that a camera trick?
I also grew up with a fear. I'm a dancer, a lifelong dancer, so that's kind of the draw of the ballerina. But lifelong fear of inversion, so having my head beneath my body, very afraid. And I'm like, well, it's inspired, that pose that I'm in is inspired by, in tarot, there's a hanged man, which is surrendering to the position that you're in to reach enlightenment. And so that's what that is for and resembles. So I was like, well, that was the first image of all of this, was the ballerina and the marionette strings being held up, and then that second position of me in the hanged man position upside down with a snake wrapped around my leg, which is a lot harder than you would think it is, because she's like 35 pounds, and it's hard to hold your legs straight up in the air when you're flipped upside down, all the blood is rushing to your head, and you're singing a song.
Well done, though. I mean, no one would know, because you perform effortlessly.
No one
would think that you were facing your fears between python snakes and boa constrictors and being upside down and hanging there. Because you've got drone shots, you've got some swirling cameras for part of that. It's really a high quality production. And when you aren't in these very dramatic situations with tarot cards and snakes and ballerina gear, you're rocking out in an alley with Cream City Brick on both sides. Where is that location?
Where was that? I can't remember. It's in Milwaukee. What's that? Swinging Door Exchange? Yeah, that sounds right.
Okay.
Yeah, right in that alley back there. And one of the flubs that I forgot in the music videos, you can see that all of our gear is not plugged in.
Oh, that's so funny. Of course you see the one thing.
Gives it away.
You see the one thing. That is funny. Well, before I let you go, and before I remind everybody that everyone listening can meet you tomorrow at 6:30 at the Oriental, along with the other musicians who will have films featured in the music video show. But tell us briefly, what has your creative journey been? Because I am just discovering you now, which is the beauty of these music video films. But I don't think this is like, hey, you know what? This is my debut album, but I've really put this thought into this album, this song. So tell us how you started from going to a dancer into a music performer and now into video.
Oh, man. 30 years worth of story here. But I started performing when I was 5, a cappella solo up on stage. My parents threw me up there because they're like, you can sing, go. And then I was singing all throughout my childhood. I started dancing. I did competitive dance throughout high school, learned piano, guitar, and then went to UWM for my vocal performance degree, which I really loved my time there. It took me 5 years to get through because I switched that sophomore year. And that was where I started really learning how to find my voice and write my own songs and explored what that meant to me as an artist. And that's where I developed me, the character, and who I wanted to be and how I wanted to show up in my art. And then I went to MATC to get my associates in audio production and engineering, just so I didn't have to rely on anybody if I didn't want to.
Resourceful.
Thank you. And yeah. So during that time, I worked with a peer to create a self-produced album, which is my freshman EP, Alchemy EP. And it's about transforming and transmuting some of the darkness into light again, but it's more eclectic. The songs are more eclectic, whereas this one, The Cave, is my first studio album. So I worked with Kyle White at Wire and Vice. He was one of my instructors at MATC. And I'm like, oh, he's amazing. So I'm going to go to him. And it was really fun to work with him in the studio and pull this together. And it's still multi-genre, but I think it's a more cohesive collection of work that can really showcase all of the styles that I'm capable of performing and what I love to sing and how I love to tell stories in my music.
I think it's great, and I'm thrilled that you have found such a great creative community here that helps you continue to develop and evolve. That's fantastic, and I love that you really kind of hit your stride as a creator at UW-Milwaukee.
Yes,
absolutely. That's a great testament to their creative programs there.
I highly recommend the Peck School. The people there care so much about you. They just want you to do the best that you can, and so they will push you and challenge you in ways that you aren't prepared for, but it's all for the best. So all of the classical tactics that I've or techniques that I've learned and all the musical theater, all the things I didn't want to have to learn really have aided in my capabilities now and my ability to transform the sounds that I have and want to create in the music that I'm making.
So, all those fundamentals.
Yes.
And Peck School of the Arts just partnered with Skylight Music Theater for A Rock and Midsummer Night's Dream. Yeah. Four cast members were incredible.
Oh, yeah.
Great talents there. Yeah. Well, good. Thanks for that ringing endorsement. Yes. She is me, M-I-E, and you can find her music video Freak Show on the big screen at the Ariadne Theater at 6:30 tomorrow. And good luck to you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining me. I'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for having me. Yes, I can't wait.
And stay with us, because if you want to help support music education, we have a way for you through the Chad Smith Foundation. Updates from CSF and a Badfinger event to attend. That's all coming up on What's on Tap.
You're listening to What's on Tap with Sandy Max on WTMJ.
Welcome back to What's on Tap. Give it away, give it away, give it away now. You've got a very benevolent drummer in Red Hot Chili Peppers, Chad Smith. Chad Smith Foundation. You might have heard in the news relatively recently that the Chad Smith Foundation is using Milwaukee as the launch city for helping with after-school music education. AMP, like plugging in an amp, after-school music program, is launching nationwide, but starting here in Milwaukee, because lots of family connections here. Chad Smith, you know, tours the world, records, is not necessarily based in Milwaukee, but his brother Brad is here, and he has other family here. And the Chad Smith Foundation is run by several of the Smiths, and this is just, they've already started. So it was like, as soon as we heard about, hey, the Chad Smith Foundation is getting together and they really are trying to fill that void of music education, because a lot of schools, sometimes that's the first thing that gets cut is the arts and culture. So AMP, the After School Initiative, has already started, and they are working with organizations like the Boys and Girls Club, and they're already doing this in after school now, and they're going to have camps over the summertime. So I love it when somebody says, hey, we're going to do something, and it does it. It just, you know, it doesn't hope that it will all come together. We've got some people who really want to make this happen. And the other cool thing is, talking about give it away and put your money where your mouth is, Chad Smith is doing a matching giveaway, dollar for dollar, up to $100,000. Every donation made to the Chad Smith Foundation by April 30th, Chad Smith himself, the founder, is going to match up to $100,000. So, you know, you double your impact if you whether it's 10 bucks or 100 bucks, you get to help. And what they're doing is they are truly hiring the teachers for these after-school programs. And the kids who participate, they don't have to pay for a lesson. They are getting this music education. And why is Chad Smith doing this? Because he had that music education as a young one, and it truly changed his life for the better. He is a working music artist. So if you're interested, it's chadsmithfoundation.org. You'll find the donation match info there. And we were just talking with the lovely artist Mie in the studio, M-I-E, and she was talking about her artistic journey and that she went to UW-Milwaukee, the Peck School of the Arts. Well, the Chad Smith Foundation is also working on a UW-Milwaukee scholarship that they are about to announce. So they truly believe in music education, and if you do as well, the Chad Smith Foundation seems like a rockin' way to make a difference. And another thing that the Chad Smith Foundation is doing is a special event tomorrow at Let It Be. Have you heard of this club in Waukesha? It is a complete reimagining, as close to possible, of the Cavern Club in Liverpool. And Dave Meister, this is his brainchild, his loving vision, food and drinks and fun, but live music there. And tomorrow is a Bad Finger benefit. Yes, Bad Finger, the band, and it's going to celebrate songs and stories. There's a documentary in progress. You'll get to see part of that, but it really is a special night, and it is something that you can be at. And I can share with you a preview of what tomorrow night is going to be like with three of the organizers of the Bad Finger event tomorrow at Let It Be. That is a benefit for the Chad Smith Foundation. Hear those highlights and some Bad Finger music next on What's on Tap.
What's on Tap with Sandy Max is back on WTMJ.
Told you, you know Bad Finger. Bad Finger. It's a band from the 60s. A lot of history. And there is a very cool concert experience that's going to be happening April 28th in Waukesha. Bad Finger Celebration Songs and Stories at Let It Be in Waukesha was one of the most unique clubs. It replicates the Cavern Club of Liverpool. So just stepping into Let It Be is an experience. Now, surround yourself with the music of Bad Finger, and maybe even some surprising Milwaukee connections for people who are casual fans of Bad Finger's hits from the 1960s. I'm very happy to welcome a trio of guests who are making this Bad Finger celebration happen.
I'm Mark Strothman. I'm the agent for Pete Ham and Tom Evans and the liaison to the estates, pretty much. Local Bad Finger expert.
I am Mary Carlson. I'm an artist that did two Pete Ham songs on his tribute CDs. One is already out. The other one will be out soon. And a super Bad Finger fan.
And longtime well-known musician in our area. So it's a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you.
And third on the list, a welcoming back from his Kitty Soft Paw days.
Oh, still raging too.
Yeah.
So I'm part of the Power Trio, and I am here in representing the Chad Smith Foundation. My brother Chad started the Chili Pepper drummer, is giving back, and he created a foundation that wants to empower music youth programs. So we're partnering with the Bad Finger event to raise funds. Part of the ticket price is going towards a youth program here in Milwaukee. And the Chad Smith Foundation is arranging that. Basically, we're hiring teachers to go into after-school programs and teach kids music and enjoy music and hopefully create future Bad Finger rockers.
What an incredible way to give back. Because just a tiny backstory of how I met Brad Smith was just standing around at a Summerfest show. I think it was after the Producers a few years ago. And
yes,
we were just standing around like, hey, that was a pretty good show. And just started chatting. And then, hey, you know, I'm in a band, Kitty Softpaw. So since then, you've been in a couple times, debuted one of your songs. But interesting, these musical threads that keep coming back to Milwaukee that are high profile and influential.
Well, and to have his tie to Milwaukee, people don't put it together right away. He's very active, but in a similar way, the Bad Finger connection to Milwaukee, right?
That's what I was just
the Chad Smith connection, the Bad Finger.
Yeah.
Milwaukee is a warm, embracing town that people really want to see succeed, And we do, we have, we will, and this is another opportunity.
And Mark, so tell us briefly, Badfinger, very successful in the 60s, based in the UK.
Yeah.
And then how does that, how does this all tie together with Milwaukee?
First band
signed
to Apple.
Since you're the expert.
yeah, there was some hard times and loss, and they kind of split up. And they got back together and did some more albums, and then they kind of sort of split up again. And then the rest of the guys got back together, and they kind of got lured to Detroit, and then they kind of got lured to Milwaukee by kind of a shady wannabe music guy. And then shortly after that,
the industry is full of them.
Yeah, I know.
Well, as Mary nods knowingly, and Brad.
But shortly after getting to Milwaukee, they met Jack Koscheck, the legendary promoter from Milwaukee in Wisconsin, and he helped them get through. And then they had some really successful tours in 82, 83, and 84. And that's kind of like their big link to Milwaukee. They had some good press where they talked about how much they liked the town and stuff. And this,
for a band that had gone through so many struggles, to find a space where you feel safe and supported and creatively fluid would be a good thing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and, Midwest is a great power pop place, and Badfinger is the power pop band. But I just think this event is great because it's going to be kind of a good view on Milwaukee for Badfinger and for some of the people who are involved in their hardships into getting to Milwaukee.
And it's called A Celebration, so story and song. So we will dig deeper into what to expect on April 28th at Let It Be in Waukesha. Stay with us here on What's on Tap as we celebrate Badfinger.
Welcome back to What's on Tap on WTMJ.
Tell you what, if you type in Badfinger anywhere where you stream, you're going to go, oh yeah, that song. Oh yeah, that song. Oh yeah. Day after day. Oh, no matter what. Oh, there's so many great songs, including Baby Blue, which is what a lot of people know from Breaking Bad. And if you are curious and you're like, that sounds, they are a good band, you have a chance to celebrate Badfinger April 28th at Waukesha's Let It Be Club. And my three guests are in the studio here who have helped make this event happen. And you got to want to, because it's not easy to wrangle cats, wrangle musicians, even when it's for a good cause. So in the studio with me is Badfinger family members, agent Mark Strothman Jr., Badfinger event creator Mary Carlson, and Chad Smith Foundation board member and musician himself, Brad Smith. So this is a fundraiser for the Chad Smith Foundation to help get music education in schools proper.
More after school. So proceeds from this will be kept in the Milwaukee area, working with the Boys and Girls Clubs of America, Salvation Army, Notes for Notes, and Running Rebels. They all have music programs, but they need teachers, so money is going to go to fund teachers.
Cool. So yeah. I know for sure we have music. We even have some documentary aspects to this. Talk about the music, Mark. What can we expect at celebrating Badfinger, April 28th?
All the hits, and the band is going to be Jeff Ross, who was in the band, and Mark Healy, who was in the band. Like at the very end, when Mike and Joey were still in the band, it was still kind of considered Badfinger at the end there. And Mark Healy played with Joey for almost 40 years. And so Mark Healy and Jeff grew up together in Madison, and they're childhood best friends. And I was kind of like, you guys got to play together. And I know you guys aren't like calling each other every week, but you got to do this thing. And so they kind of like, you're like, all right, we're gonna do it, you know.
Cool, so bringing them together.
Yeah, they're gonna do all the big hits, and Mary's gonna be playing too.
I would say, Mary, yep. How are you? You're a wonderful musician. How Aww. Are you gonna be involved in this evening? You mentioned that you'd covered Pete Ham's song.
Yes.
So, what
yes.
is it about Badfinger that really speaks to your soul as a musician, and makes you think that this band deserves a night of full-on celebration?
Well, I was just a casual fan until my manager, who is also involved with putting out Badfinger CDs, releases, the Pete Ham tributes, he showed me all these demos that Pete Ham had done that never were recorded. He was very prolific, you know, hundreds
wow.
of songs that never saw the light of day. And so, like 20 years ago, he said, I want to do a Pete Ham tribute. And so then he gave me this book about the band, and I just fell in love, and I just related to everything about them. And fell in love. And then so I did a song for the first tribute, and then I'm on the second tribute.
Yay!
And then, yeah, so I'm happy to just be a part of this. And I love the music program thing, because there's so many kids out there that don't have a place to go, that are, you know, they don't fit in at school. They're not good at math, and they just don't need a place. They need a place that they feel safe and they feel welcome and they feel like they fit.
And they can express themselves.
Exactly. That's so needed these days, and especially now. So when Brad came on board and I met Mark, and I just thought, oh my God, I have to help whatever I can do.
This is great. April 28th.
Yes.
Badfinger Celebration, songs and stories. We will have music, and then there will be stories on the screen. Tell me about the film aspect of the evening.
A gentleman named John Anderson, very successful documentarian. Wow, that was a mouthful. But he's worked with Brian Wilson, John Prine. He's done some amazing projects. He's focused on Joey Mulland, which he was the last member of the original band. And he got tons of material from him. He'll be at this event. He's going to speak to the crowd. We are going to show snippets of the upcoming documentary. Not too long, but visually, well,
preview,
the monitors,
yes.
Preview. And he'll have a camera there filming this event. So this will probably be near the end of the documentary, showing that the love and appreciation for Badfinger exists. And of course, getting this group of people together is unprecedented. As Mark has said, he's bringing people together that have played with those guys. And as Mary mentioned, the music is so inspiring. It's timeless. Mark can speak about licensing these songs for movies, for shows, for streaming services, because it's timeless. And the fact that Breaking Bad kind of just gave it a big spotlight, because when it ended, that was the most perfect ending of the most perfect TV show. I'm a little biased, but man, Breaking Bad nailed it. And that song had the capability to bring it all together. So it's just indicative of the love. You're getting the right people to play the music.
Yeah.
It's from their heart. They have that DNA with the original band, which is pretty lucky and hard to find. But the environment, the love that Dave Meister, the owner of Let It Be, has brought into it. It's a restaurant, as you know. We've got food prior. Doors open at 5. We have changed all the names of the food to have some pun and quip. So
I love a theme party, Brad.
So this, the vegetarian great dish is no meter what? Instead of no matter, is that?
I love that.
That's punny.
Okay.
That's punny.
You're working with, that's punny. Oh, God. But the ham sandwich was easy.
Oh, sure.
For Mr.
Sure.
Pete. But anyways, we're having fun. We're excited to do this. And frankly, it's a little bit of a guilty pleasure, because this band is a favorite for so long. And it's going to be great to see them. To hear the music live.
Yeah. Badfinger Celebration, songs and stories. And like you said, played by the right people and the people who helped create it. So Badfinger Celebration, April 28th at Let It Be in Waukesha. Like I said, that Let It Be Club is like walking into the Cavern Club, but I would say even better. You don't have to go downstairs. It's not in a basement, but... Yeah. It's not as sweaty.
And they have air conditioning, too.
They have air conditioning and gourmet food and gourmet drinks. It's mm-hmm. a wonderful space. So you've chosen wisely, I would say. April 28th. Is there a best website to go for the info?
Letitbe.club/badfinger.
What a great visit a couple of weeks ago with the Badfinger Benefit Event Trio. Such a joy to hang out with Brad Smith, Chad Smith's brother, and Chad Smith Foundation board member. Mary Carlson, just a wonderful musician and celebrating Badfinger event creator, and Badfinger family members agent Mark Strothman Jr., just a wealth of information. It's going to be a great community tomorrow, and Let It Be in Waukesha. Few tickets available, so don't miss out. I found out today from Lewis Smith of the Chad Smith Foundation, about 90% sold out, which is a great sign. But if you want to be there, don't wait. Be part of it. And the Milwaukee Film Festival goes through Thursday. This 2 weeks is like flown by. But Milwaukee Film Artistic Director Kara Ogburn, she helps curate the treasure trove of films. I have some suggestions from her to make the most, if you haven't gotten there yet, what you should see to go and make the most of the Milwaukee Film Festival before it ends on Thursday. Hang out with me here on What's on Tap, sponsored by Visit Milwaukee, handcrafted, homegrown, world-class. Discover more at visitmilwaukee.org.
Welcome back to What's on Tap on WTMJ.
Girls been at films instead of on film. I'm Sandy Max. Thanks for hanging out with me on What's on Tap on this supersized episode to kick off the week. And there are, even though it started almost 2 weeks ago, the Milwaukee Film Festival will wrap up on Thursday evening. Still many films to see at the Downer and at the Oriental Theaters of all kinds, whether you like documentaries, whether you like them weird, whether you like short films, long films, music videos. That's the showcase tomorrow at 6 o'clock, 6:30 at the Oriental Theater, that I get to MC 15 different music artists showcasing their music videos on that literally two-story screen. That's got to be a big thrill. And I think you'll be surprised at just the quality, the caliber, and the variety of musical artists and visual artists that we have here. So that's tomorrow at 6:30. You're invited to join me. But also I had Kara Ogburn. She's the artistic director of Milwaukee Film, and she helps curate all of these films. And when she visited me just before opening day, I wanted to get her suggestions. And there's still some really interesting films that are screening. For example, this film tomorrow at 2 is called Seized, and one of her suggestions.
The film Seized is one that I would draw your audience to. Mm-hmm. It's a news story about news. The Marion County, Kansas Record gets shut down, and they fight to get back the means of the paper of record of this small town in Kansas. It's really a film about freedom of the press, freedom of speech and information in a small town, which is not where you would think that this would be happening.
So that is Seized tomorrow at 2 at the Downer, if that newsy documentary sounds good to you. And this, I'm telling you, I saw it on Friday night. What a fun, fun documentary.
Our centerpiece film is that cheesemonger documentary that I mentioned.
Tell me just in a sentence or two what the big cheese is about and when it is.
If you like Food Network, if you like Top Chef, if you like watching people compete at something very specific, it's got that vibe of the competition documentary. It kind of takes you through that narrative arc of the competition. But you learn a lot about, one, what it takes to be incredibly knowledgeable about cheese. And you also meet Adam Moskowitz, who's
the big cheese,
the literal big cheese, who is kind of the head of this United States contingent going to the Mondial du Fromage. And he's somebody you end up connecting with. He's not just a cheese guy. He's not as cheesy as he seems on the surface. He feels very real.
She is very right. She is Kara Ogburn, artistic director of Milwaukee Film. And that was truly a big choice by them, the centerpiece film called The Big Cheese. And I saw it on Friday. It is fast paced. It is fun. It really is all the things that she described. I think you'll really enjoy it. You can see it Wednesday afternoon at 3:45 at the Downer Theater. It's a really good one. If you want to browse all those films, mkefilm.org. And you can also check out WTMJ.com. I've been posting my daily picks to help you narrow it down. But I'd be ashamed to miss out on the Milwaukee Film Festival. I'm Sandy Max. Thank you so much for hanging out with me. Catch up on the podcast for What's on Tap anytime at WTMJ.com. Thanks for listening to What's on Tap, sponsored by Visit Milwaukee.